So the title of my message this morning is called The Church, One Big Happy Family. The Church, One Big Happy Family. That's the name of the title of my message. As you know, we've been going through the Creed since February. We are in this portion where we talk about the Holy Christian Church and the communion of the saints. So we're going to talk about this idea of what God intended the church to be. And so that's what we're going to dive into this morning. We talked last week a little bit about the church. We talked about the church's purpose was, part of the purpose was to bring deliverance, healing, and to make disciples, right? We talked about that last week. Hang on a second. And so to bring about the works of Jesus, that's what the church is called to do, to be the voice of God in our culture and in our world, right? And so, and it's the church, isn't it amazing, that God chooses the church to make that all happen, to bring deliverance, healing, make disciples, do the works of Jesus. He's called primarily the church to get that job done. That's either a good or like, oh me, like he picked us. You ever think about that? Like, really, God, you chose us? Like, really? You know what? That means God had really, he had really faith in the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. Amen? Because it's not us who does it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who works in us and through us to make that happen. So what is this church that God's talking about? The church, it's interesting that we are a part of the family of God. The family of God. God is our Father. We are His sons and daughters of God. Amen? That's amazing. We could land there and preach for a while about being sons and daughters of God. Right? That means if we're sons and daughters, the person sitting next to you is a son and a daughter of the same Father. Look at your neighbor and go, hello, brother or sister. That's your brother and sister. We are literally in this room, one big happy family. Amen? So let's take a dive into this a little bit deeper as we talk about church. I want to talk a little bit about what church is and what church is not. So what church, and so let's talk about this. So we'll go with the nots, right? What the church, the first thing the church is not, it's not primarily a preaching center and a teaching center. That flies in the face of a lot of our churches today. I come to church to get a message. I come to church to do this, right? That is not primarily. Do we do that? 100%. We totally endeavor to accurately represent Jesus and accurately represent His Word through all of the teaching that we do, no matter who's teaching, whether in the children's classes, in the back, whether it's Converge, whether it's our young adults, whether it's our small groups, we endeavor to teach the 100%. That's what we are. We do that. But it's not primarily a teaching center. There's plenty of teaching centers. We have YouTube for that. Right? Man, we got a new grill at the house, and man, YouTube has been my best friend. Trying to figure out and learn and all the kind of stuff. And so I got Mother's Day. It's like a big weight on my shoulders of what we're going to eat today. Amen. And I got to make it good because my wife deserves it. But it is not, we're not just a preaching center. It's not a concert. You don't come to Sunday morning concert. Right? It's not these guys just don't come up here to perform. We don't call them like they're our musicians, 100%, but they are worship leaders. What does that mean? They lead us into worship. We are not primarily, we are not a concert. It's not even this. It is not even an activity center with programs for all. We are not your YMCA. Yeah. We aren't. Do we do all those things? Yep. But we are not primarily an activity center with programs for all, right? The church is not a building, an organization, or a person. Amen? It can have all those things, but it's bigger than all of those things. It's not about a person. The time when it becomes about a person, we've missed the person. And we've missed the actual idea of what God has called us to as a church. What is the church? The church is the body of Christ. It's you. It's me. We are the church. We are the church. It's interesting that it says Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are the church. We are the assembly. You and I, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a house of prayer on behalf of our community, on behalf of the meeting together of the church, and for each other. It's a house of prayer. We have to be people of prayer. We're a family, as I said before, and we're also a healing station for the broken, where people can come and find healing and restoration and life. And it doesn't come just from a guy, a good-looking guy, with his shirt tucked in on Mother's Day. Come on, in Jesus' name. Oh, when I'm tucking my shirt in on Mother's Day. I don't know how to take that clap. Thank you. We're a community of faith. Community of faith. That's what we're called. When God spoke to me about starting this church, and I said, God, so the big thing was like, what do you call the church? You know, we could have like cool, hip names, super trendy names for churches. You know, don't you love all those trendy little names? They're all great. You know, I like the ones that are in my head. I can't say because they're actually in our community, but they're trendy and they're great. They're awesome. I know they're pastors. They're amazing people. But so like, God, give me like a, and this is what the Lord spoke. You ever wonder like what the Lord spoke about our church? What I felt like the Lord spoke to me was, I remember where I was. We were in our other house up in our bedroom. I was praying. And God said this. He said, David, I want you to build a community of hope. A community of hope. That we corporately, together, build each other up, encourage one another. Friendships, relationships would thrive in our church. It's great when people come to our church and that's the things that they say about our church. How friendly. They can't believe how friendly our church is. Can't believe how nice and, you know. Do you know, like, for the first year or two of our church, I had a thing when we were like 15 people strong, right? And we made a decision that we said, we have them now. But we said in the beginning, don't be no greeters. Because you know why? We're all greeters. Amen. We're all greeters. Amen. Amen. I've walked in churches where you walk in and you get slung, you get all the greeters, and then you walk into the void of strangers. I mean, that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. Not in this church. Amen. Not in this church. Community of believers. So when we talk about one big happy family, I have some pictures of some families that would show. This is an interesting family. There is so much going on in this picture. There is so much going on. I don't know. The shorts. And the fact that the son is choking the mom, that is so not right. And the daughter looks like she's all for it. I don't know what's wrong with it. That was probably not the right picture to show on Mother's Day. Maybe I should have. All right, what's the next one? Oh, yeah, just this. Man. So they'll be in concert tonight singing? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't know. The snarl on the dad's lip is just fantastic. Yeah, that's so they're so happy. They're so happy. They're so happy. It's because he's wearing that collar. That's why he's had that snarl. And this next, I don't know who this next family is. Oh, that's a different kind of... That's a different family. So, oh my gosh. Oh, take that off. Oh my gosh. Families. We are one. Everybody say this. Say, we are part of one big, happy family. Amen. And we'll pass out clothes next week for all of us. That's called a cult. We're not doing that. Yeah, that's, yeah. So, let's go to this. Let's go to the word. First Peter, now from not just the Jewish people, but from every culture, every language, every nation. We used to sing a song. It was said that all over the world, people just like us are calling his name and living in his love. There's people this morning. Well, not this morning because it's other, there are different time zones. But there's people all over the world. I get my messages from my sister. And watching those guys worship God, right? And you see people from all different languages worshiping God, all part of this new creation, this new people group that God created through Jesus. And that people group corporately, and we say the Holy Christian Church, or the original creed would say the Holy Catholic Church, being the united worldwide church. And that's what it is. Like we get to heaven. There's going to be people that look completely different than we do. All over the world, every tribe, every nation, called by one name, Jesus. And that's the church that we're called into. And we're a small part of it. Isn't that amazing? That you are part of something bigger than yourself. You are a part of the church. The seeing revival in the underground church of China. You're a part of the church that are people that are in bondage and in brokenness, right? In Iran, are believers all over the world. We are a part of them. We're one body. Jesus prayed that we would be one, even as Him and the Father are one. We have been called into something great. Called the church. And so through this thing, we see that we are called a royal priesthood. That term may bring different things to different people, right? You're like, so we should all wear collars? Is that what we should all wear? We're passing out collars next week. But we should, like, I'm a priest, right? A priest is simply, very simply, basically, just representatives of God. That's what priests are. You are called a royal, you're part of the royal priesthood. Amen? You didn't have to go through classes. You didn't have to get ordained. God ordained you as a royal priest, a representative of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what you're called to do. And then you're called to represent Him everywhere you go. And no matter how you serve, because you choose to have a solid work ethic at your job, you show an example of Jesus through what you do and how you live, because you're people that are full of the Holy Spirit, amen? That God's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, to be a light to the nations, to the world, to the people around you, everywhere you go. We're starting Super Surge back up. Amen. That's our outreach to our community down the street. We're starting that about this, I guess, maybe this Friday, maybe. And then we're starting it full-fledged back in the fall to reach our community. What are we doing? We're being a light to our nation, being a light to the world. Amen. Going out of these walls. To bring hope and light. But that's what we're called to do. Every day and every way. To declare the praises of God. Your testimony of what God's done for you. Right? Of what God's called you into. And then He calls us foreigners. Foreigners. Let me just clue you in on something. This is my favorite step. Someone is telling me how my walk. my circle. But we are foreigners. Listen, church, don't try so hard to fit in. Don't try so hard to fit in, because you won't. We're supposed to love. That should be our number one. Our call sign should be love for everybody. Amen? But we can't just say what, you know, we are, I always get this wrong. We are always supposed to be the thermostat and not a thermometer. Thermometer, no difference between a thermostat and a thermometer, right? Thermometer just measures the temperature. You just in your own life, do you just measure the temperature? A thermostat changes the temperature. That's what we're called to be. We're called to be thermostats. So when the temperature is jacked up in our workplace, we can be the thermostat to raise it up. We can be the people full of the Holy Spirit. When everybody's talking around negative and all this stuff is going on, you just don't have to be a part of it. That's a light right there, right? You can be an encouragement to somebody. If somebody else is, if my daughter is going through some, it's good to have my daughter back. If my daughter, give me your hand. Sorry, I love you. If my daughter is going through something, you know what I can be? I can be the person that raises the temperature, encourages, build up. By the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Me, you.
That's right.
Right? That's what we're called to do. Say, I am.
I am.
A thermostat.
Thermostat.
I quit being
a thermometer.
Long time ago. We are. Listen, the church, they did a survey. This is like 10 years ago now. They did a survey and they asked people about the church. And you know what they said? It was mostly for millennials at that time. But they asked them, is the church an agent of change? And overwhelmingly, the answer was no. Yeah, Al. Church, we've got to be better. We know it's the answer. We know. Look at around us. We are affected by change. But the church, we need to be, a church should be the agent of change. And I'm talking like individually, personally. The agent of change to bring hope, healing, restoration, deliverance. Because he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And if he's called us into his marvelous light, that means that I can be the light that shines. Not in the, you know, I think sometimes we get it kind of skewed because we say we're the light of the world, the whole world. I've been to so many conferences, go out and change the world. Right. You know, and then you give these great examples of those handful of people that went out and changed the world, right? But you know what Jesus says? Go one-on-one. Go make disciples. Be a disciple maker. One-on-one with other people.
Come on.
How can I help you get to another place in God?
Come on.
All of us can do it.
Come on.
If you were born again for a half a second, you can help somebody get closer to God. You can help somebody grow in their relationship. You're all qualified. Amen? If you're a believer in here, just raise your hand for a second. Just raise your hand. I just want to do something real quick. Let me just, I don't know what your background tradition, I don't know what I have to do, but Dominus, Omus, what you are ordained, right? To do the work of God. Amen? Do the work of God. Do the work of Christ. Heal the sick. Those who are broken. Heal the broken. Mend the brokenhearted. That's yours and mine. It's the church. You are the church. For so often, we look to one person to do it. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, we're a small church. There's still a lot of you. What we're called to do, the model of the I'll just say it. The model of the one man of God church has got to go. There is one anointed one, and he stands up every single Sunday and preaches the word. That model has to go. Because one person is going to make disciples? You think coming to church just on a... Oh man, I'm going to get my preach on. You think coming to church on a Sunday morning is going to cause you to completely grow into everything that God's called you to be in your walk of God? No, it's going to take you going to lunch with somebody else. It's going to take you getting together in relationships with other people. When you have trouble, you just don't have to pick up the call. Well, I guess the pastor can't talk to me right now. What about your friend that you go to church with?
Yeah.
What about the person that is your that sits next to you every Sunday? Amen. See, this idea of the anointing and the one anointed guy, that idea we got to get rid of. Am I anointed? 100%. I believe it. You know why? Because I pray, seek the Lord, ask for the presence of God. Amen. When I pray for you, do I believe God's power? Is it work in my, and will work through me to pray and bring answers for your life? 100%. Will God anoint me to help them when I counsel with people and talk with people to help them? 100%. I believe that with everything in me. But it's not solely me. You know my job? Watch this. He talks about the gifts. The pastor, prophet, teacher. Watch this. Therefore, the equipping of the saints to do the what? Work of the... You know what my job is? To get you to do the work of the ministry. That's my job. I can't do it all. I can't do it all. Amen?
Amen.
This okay? Happy Mother's Day? I love all the churches. Now I'm on camera. I do. Let me do one more scripture. That is not in my notes. I hope everything was taken the right way. It says this. Oh, here we go. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. I should have just read the scripture. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly, I love that word, unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who's promised is faithful. Oh, so good. It's such a good word. Such a good word. And let us consider, watch this. Let us consider, let us think, let us ponder how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Amen. But encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. That we're supposed to be a body of Christ that spurs one another to good deeds. Right? That Craig spurs Mike to encourage him. Man, I know you got a little baby and I know it's tough. But come on, you can do it. It's not going to last forever. Those kind of encouraging words, right? We don't overburden people, but we encourage one another. Build people up. The church should be the most encouraging place on the planet. That when we're in the lobby, like what we talk about, yeah, the sports and all that other stuff, it's all great. But in church, we should be talking about church things. And building each other up. Praying for one another. It would be a dream of mine. You want to hear my dream? That after service, we do have people that are going to pray for you, but to look and see people turning to one another and getting prayer with each other, praying for one another, to do the work that God's called us to do. That's the church. That's what we're called to be. And not giving up. Do you know why you come to church? You're questioning that now. You know why you come to church? You don't come to church just for yourself. Do you know just by showing up brings encouragement to other people? Do you know that when you walk into the doors and somebody else sees you and they see you, man, you're worshiping God. There's something about this corporate idea of worship and this corporate idea of gathering that just by the nature of us gathering, it encourages me. I'm not alone. I'm not by myself in my faith. I look at the news and the whole world's going to hell, right? But no, there's people. There's good people. There's good people left, and they're in this room. Amen? And they're in other rooms all over this city. And not to just come for yourself. You come and you get blessed with Jessica and Brian and the team just worshiping God. And, man, you sing in the old hymns at the end and just us and Jesus. And God just leads her to do this. And it's just amazing, right? When we do that all together, God's going to bless you 100. And then we turn around, we be a blessing to others. Too much. My pastor of my previous church would say this. He would say, he goes, when you walk into the church, it shouldn't be here I am. Like, here I am. Y'all look at me. Right? Like, you ever do that? Did anybody notice I tucked my shirt in this morning? Like, I got my hair cut and all this. Like they might notice me, please notice me. Right? No, the proper way to walk into church is there you are. There you are. There you are. How can I encourage you today? How can I be a blessing to you today? How can I lift you up? Right? Let me ask you about your weekend. Right? This is what God called us to be. I may not be the best preacher in Woodstock. But you know what we're going to be? We're going to be the most friendly, God-loving, encouraging people, believers in this church. We're going to be a community of hope that all of us bring hope to each other. And the hope doesn't come from a pulpit. It comes from each other, encouraging one another, building each other up. That's the vision that God gave me for our church. That's what God's called us to be.